We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. I'm broadcasting live from the Custer County Fairgrounds building today. I got some really special guests going to be on with me. Dr. Daryl Peel is going to be here. Well, actually, he's here. He's coming on here pretty quick. And anyway, weather update, some temperatures out in the eastern or western part of the Panhandle. We got 40 degrees, 41 degrees at Slap Out, 35 at the May Ranch, 40 at Alva, 38 at Cheyenne, 38 at Hollis, and out here in the Panhandle, Texas, I have 43 at Lipscomb, 38 at Odell, and 42 at Deal. With Oklahoma State Extension Services put on a great show over here. It's called the Beef Seminar, the four-county beef seminar, Custer County, Ouachita, Roger Mills, and Beckham. I got all them right. Got all those right. Anyway, well, the first speaker at the seminar this morning, right off the bat, was Dr. Daryl Peel, and you guys all know him as the beef extension specialist for our beef specialist for the extension for OSU. I know him as the numbers guy. So anyway, welcome to the show, Dr. Peel.
Well, thank you. It's
first
great
time
to be
live.
Here. It is. It's the first time we've talked live. So
yeah, together. Together. On the phone.
Right.
And so anyway, had a really good turnout.
Yeah.
And
you had
some good questions, and figured out if you want to stay in the cattle business, you need to get married.
We might have to explain that a little bit, but anyway, yeah.
I'll let Lake spin that. But anyway, you brought up a lot of good subjects today that I follow every day, just like you do. You follow the numbers a little harder than I do. But rebuilding the herd, what do you think?
You know, first of all, I guess how we got here after the drought we've had the last two or three years, we find ourselves in this industry having been forced to liquidate down to levels that are too small, basically. The market recognizes that we need more beef production. And so the incentives are growing to rebuild this herd when we can. Obviously, Mother Nature was the reason why we got this way. We didn't plan to get this small.
No, we didn't plan it.
And so, and we're still dealing with some drought issues. So we don't know when we're going to be able to change that, but there will be growing incentives. There are growing incentives to rebuild this herd when we get a chance. And this will be nationwide, but, obviously we're in the heart of cattle country here, so it'll be an increasing thing. Thus far, 2023, we saw a dramatic run-up in prices, but we have not seen any real indication yet of any herd rebuilding yet in this industry. So, we're going to be looking at that going forward in not only in 2024, but really for the next, 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah, I heard you say that earlier, not just 24, 25 into 26. And we were talking to hit on that subject there. I asked the question, and then some more follow-up questions is, the age of our cattle producers right now is getting older, and with interest rates, a feed truck costs $60,000.
Exactly.
And you're not going to go buy 20 cows or heifers and pay for the feed truck.
Yeah, no, that's right.
And so, but there was some good questions. This brought up the married one.
Yeah.
There's a group of kids here from Elk City High School here from the FFA deal, and they all want to get into the cattle business, and it's just going to take some help from bankers and other people to get things started.
It's never been easy to get started in ag, but I think you could make the argument that maybe it's never been more challenging than it is right now,
right?
Certainly. Because of the demographics of the age of producers and so on, and the market environment that we're in, certainly we're going to see some transition. There's no doubt about it. Some of these older producers are not as interested in rebuilding the herd as they are seeing this as an opportunity maybe to transition their operation in some way. So I think there'll be some structural change in the industry as we see these kinds of processes take place and all of that. That'll all be kind of a backdrop to what the market is doing and what the market is trying to encourage this industry to do.
And I think one of the subjects you hit on during your part of the seminar was what really gets my attention and how great it is how the genetics of cattle have changed over the last 30 or 40 years. And I don't remember the exact date, whether it's 20 years ago or 30 years ago, but we have less cattle and they're producing the same amount of, or same amount, if not more, beef.
Yeah, in fact, 2022 was a record level of beef production in this country. Now, part of that was because of drought, and we were forced to liquidate. So right. We were eating some of that inventory, which is not a sustainable thing. But to your point, this industry produces more beef today with about 40 million head less cows than cattle than we had in the mid-1970s.
And so, consumption is up,
and,
too.
Consumption is, total consumption is, yes. It continues to grow in the U.S. And so, we find ourselves now because of the drought and because we've been forced to liquidate that we need to rebuild this herd. And so that's a question of who's going to do that, what kind of incentives it will take to get producers to be willing to make that investment. It is a big investment. It's a big
huge
jump. And so I think that's one of the questions going forward is and then of course the other question is Mother Nature and what's the forage conditions going to look like. Are we still got a lot of drought around the country in various places.
So
what we can do is one question. What we want to do is another question, and I think we've got to get answers to both of those as we go forward.
All right, I got a coffee shop question for you. Okay. Are you ready? Okay. They say somewhere the cow calculator's off, even with prices the way they are today. So I'm gonna kind of give you a rundown. And so a person goes out and buys 100, 450-pound steers at $310 a piece. That's almost $1,400 a head. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm talking on the insured. If a person insures right now, the interest rate on that calf is $11.50. The labor for that calf for 4 to 5 months is $13 to $15. And medicine, minimum $25. Cost of gain, somewhere between 70 and 90 cents. Hauling the cattle, $30 per head. Commission at the sale barn, $41. If it's sold video, it's $19. Insurance to insure this herd, $77 a person, or ahead, and then figured on 3% loss on 100 head equals $69 extra. So you keep this calf to get it up to 800 pounds. When you sell that calf, we're going insured at a little over 2,000. So that's $629. The cost to have this calf, including your insurance, is $588.50. It leaves you a $40.50 profit. All right. On the non-insured part, take the insurance cost out of that total cost of that calf because you didn't insure it. Same cost, same labor, same everything. Negative $123 you made to get a calf from 450 pounds to $800.
Yeah. This industry has lots of challenges, obviously. It's a very complex industry. We've got multiple layers of production. You're talking about the stocker level, so we've got cow-calf producers and all of the challenges they face.
Right.
We've got stocker producers, and we can go on to the feedlot, even the packer and the retailer level. Everybody in this business above the cow-calf level is a margin operation.
Right.
And the nature of the dynamics of this industry is that those margins are quite variable over time. And so at any one point in time, sometimes there are challenges that you just really can't get around. And part of it's a short run versus long run thing.
Right.
But, the market we're in right now actually is going to be a challenge for these margin operators, because what's happening is the market is really focused on trying to encourage the cow-calf sector to rebuild. That's the basis for supply in the industry is the cow herd. Right. And so the price of calves is, and cow-calf producers may tell us that the prices, even as much as they've gone up, are still not high enough to make them want to rebuild the herd or retain heifers. And the answer to that is those calf prices are probably going to go even higher.
Right.
The market will provide those incentives, but as we do that at the cow-calf level, then that means the stocker guy's paying even more on the input side relative to the output side. And those things adjust, and they will work themselves out over time. But in the meantime, those margins can be pretty mean at times.
And a guy needs to be careful.
And a guy has to be careful. You do have to use risk management in this thing. And obviously cost management becomes really critical across the board in this kind of a situation. And then, at the end of the day, you just need to be a little bit lucky, too. And
Roll the dice.
Yeah, and have some things and have Mother Nature smile favorably on you, and that'll help a little bit too.
Yeah, because we're going to look at a bred cow that was 2 years ago bringing $1,500. They're already up to $2,000 to $2,500 right now. And if the market continues to what it's showing with the replacements, I've Brandon Hickey and I've talked about it a few times. Right now is a great time to buy some heifers and be ready to breed them later on this summer or this spring.
I think it is. I mean, again, your resource base is really the key here. Do you have the, one of the things we do have going for us in Oklahoma right now, we just got some hay data from USDA. Oklahoma had a fantastic year last year in terms of hay production. We were a little bit of an island in the drought compared to north and south of us. And so we've got the biggest hay stocks we've had in quite a long time in Oklahoma.
That's important.
And that won't solve all our problems, but it does give us some flexibility both to get through the winter and potentially to deal with whatever drought issues we may have to deal with this coming summer.
All right. Well, Dr. Peel, you got a phone call in about 4 minutes. So anyway, thank you so much for coming on today. And I've met you in person, but it's great to be live talking with you.
Absolutely.
Because this guy is my favorite numbers guy. That's all I can say. But anyway, we're going to take a Taylor Ranch happy hour break. When we come back, I'll have a little more on the Taylor Ranch, and we'll continue being live over here at Custer County Fairgrounds in Clinton, Oklahoma. Be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Get better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 2nd at 12:30. Selling 90 yearling and 18-month-old bulls and 20 commercial bred heifers. They've got DNA test data, birth, weaning, and yearling data, and ultrasound data. They've been feed efficiency tested on the GrowSafe system. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 2nd at 12:30 p.m. on County Road 2150 near Foss. Get information at davisangus.com or go to Facebook and search Davis Angus.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, thank you. Welcome back to the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour today. Texas Panhandle, Miami is, what do we got? It's 46 degrees, wind chills 37. I mean, it was nice this morning, even when it was cold, but then that south wind came in like a hurricane. Humidity's 23, dew point's 10. Winds out of south at 22 miles an hour. Gust today, or right now, is 28. Peak wind gust 31. 1.06 inches of rain so far in Miami this month. No red flag minutes, sub-freezing minutes, 607. 8-inch soil temperature is 34 degrees. Man, you wouldn't believe what the cats drug in over here in this building today. Mr. Brandon Hickey.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. He's mad at me from yesterday because I let the nut lady take over his spot. Yeah. But anyway, guess what? I found him today, and things are good. You and your wife are attending the seminar over here. It's pretty informative.
It is. It is. A lot of really good information coming from a lot of these good speakers. And you know, something that sticks out to me about what they're, a lot of this information they're giving, a lot of these producers, they're doing it anyway, but they're explaining to you why you're doing what you're doing.
Right.
Why my grandma, my granddaddy taught me to do it this way, and we've been doing it this way, and they're showing you why and telling you why, the why of what you're doing and why it's important
right.
to be doing what
a
you're doing.
A lot of whys.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, and what a great service that Oklahoma has with our extension agents and the OSU putting it out there, all this information that you can get for basically nothing. I mean, really, really cheap to get soil
and you get
samples.
A free meal.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and to be able to take advantage of getting soil samples sent off and hay samples sent off and forage samples. I mean, we have a great, great service that probably doesn't get used near as much as it really should.
And it's free. Absolutely. Free service. I mean, absolutely. Yes, you got to pay for your sampling and all that, but everything else is free on it. And I knew it. And I'm glad they brought it back up. Marty New did, you know, about the manure piles. I knew it. Mm-hmm. I just forget about it. Yep. And when you go from looks like somebody's been on a wheat pasture to somebody that didn't drink any water, yep. there's a lot that you can understand about your cattle through your manure.
Absolutely.
Yep. Anyway, Friday, you guys didn't have a sale at Western Oklahoma. Due to the weather, it's a good thing. Nobody need to be hauling the cattle around in that cold. But you had a good sale Friday.
We did. We did. Had just almost 1,200 head and a lot of really good calves came to town. Even with the cold weather coming in, there's lots of buyer activity. Had a lot of buyers there for the cattle that we had, and the market was just phenomenal. You're always a little bit worried about that when there's a cold coming in, a cold front coming in, and you know that the weather's going to get not so good, and so you're always a little bit concerned about what that market's going to be good. But the buyers was there, and you know those stocker calf operators, they know that cold really don't bother those cattle as much as a lot of people would like to say that they do. They're made for that. They're created that way. They can handle that cold, you know. And
it's just the babies popping out sometimes and stuff.
Those brand new babies in this bitter weather is a little bit different deal. But them guys coming to the sale barn to buy them cattle, they, you know, they're expecting them to handle it good, and it's just all a question of whether or not they want to get out and cut the ice for them, you know.
Right. That's what it comes down, because I was surprised when I seen Lake in there buying. Mm-hmm. I said, what are you doing? Yep, yep. You were just telling me about numbers the other day.
Yep.
Don't worry about it, Clark.
Yep,
anyway,
yep,
so
yep.
He got me.
He'd sold some the previous Monday, so he needed to replace them. I was really glad to see him since he bought some of my calves that was in there.
Oh,
I was really
good.
Glad that he was there.
Yeah, and I stopped by because I hadn't seen the ladies since holidays. And I went in there, and I didn't even say nothing. They were yelling language at me. And so anyway, especially the one with the short gray hair. Yeah. And she, but anyway, she was, there was good. I just wanted a pop in a candy bar. And then I went up there and yeah, you had some buyers in there. Yep. And it was good seeing, all the fights, Mr. Fight and the boys, mm-hmm. Stacy and Steven in there. Mm-hmm. Mr. Fight said he was bringing, yep. He brought some calves in.
Yep.
He said he had a little issue when he showed up to load them. They weren't where they were supposed to be. So, but having two sons like he's got in cowboy hats, I'm sure that wasn't a big issue.
Yep.
So
yep.
Anyway, yep. So how did the cattle sell?
It was really good. The lightweight calves was just as in demand as they were the previous week. Certain classes maybe just a shade higher. The bigger weaned cattle, which was the ones I was really concerned about, which we kind of had some 650 to 750 weight cattle, was about the biggest we had this last Friday. And, you know, those were the ones you're really concerned about, those feedlot ready cattle with the storms and whatnot coming in. But they did phenomenally well.
Yeah.
A gentleman from down there around Childress had a big, nice string of cattle weighing in the mid-sixes. That, you know,
is that from Turkey?
Yep,
is that thrown?
Yep. Mm-hmm, yep. Two. What was it? Two. Two.
Six, 640, 654 brought 241.25.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, there was several bidders on that. You know, going up there, that, you know, a nice string of good quality cattle from Turkey. The gentleman has a really nice program, and you know, those good cattle like that are always easy to sell, but sometimes it still surprises me, you know, and happily so, pleasantly surprised to have so much activity on them with the cold weather coming in.
I'm still on your train. I think it's still a good time to buy some 5 to 6 weight heifers. Mm-hmm. You got some 560 pounders that were weaned, brought 233. Was that figure out roughly about 1,300? Mm-hmm. That's a pretty cheap investment to start rebuild a herd.
It is. It is. You know,
it's not cheap, but it's a good price.
Yeah, and you know, those are already weaned, and you know, so your health problems are out of the way. They're weaned and ready to go right on out, and ready to go. And you know, April, May, they were going to be ready for the bulls to turn out. So, you know, yeah, I think there's a lot of potential here going forward of the roll-up availability in these heifers, of what they're going to be worth as bred heifers and pairs coming up a year from now. I mean, I think that the roll-up potential is just absolutely incredible if a guy wants to spend the time doing it. And I think that's what we're running into as much as anything, that, you know, there's some guys that's got some pasture and whatnot, but, you know, do you want to spend the time and effort to get those things growed up and get the bulls with them and then make the decision, am I going to market these as bred heifers or as pairs, you know?
Or am I going to calve them?
Yep.
Depends
yep,
on your
exactly,
age.
Exactly, yeah, exactly, exactly. But
I really think I calved my last heifers 2 years ago February.
I bet you didn't.
I might probably done. It made you want to, though. Oh, my God. That little last three-day deal we had in Hunting and Holding Light to what did there a couple of Februarys ago. But, yeah, and then like Wellington got some heifers that were weaned, brought 227 and weighed almost 6.5. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you got room for some heifers, you got some pasture. I think it's time to be come in. But there's Dr. Peel, you know, touched on some stuff in there today about herd rebuilding, mm-hmm. and there's nothing on paper really showing it. I know some guys out there doing it, but nothing on paper showing it. You know, this year, next year.
Yeah.
Yep. This is a little different than one back in 2000.
It is. I mean, we responded and rebuilt so quickly.
Yeah.
Coming out of that once it started raining there in 2013, 14. I mean, man, we rebuilt really fast. And it was like the whole entire time that the 11 and 12 drought was going on, there was people sitting there, you know, waiting. Just, I mean, you could just waiting on go. You know, we're ready to buy some cows. We're ready, and you know, and it's not as much this year. There's not as you know, as many of those people sitting there going, okay, we're ready to restock. We're ready to restock. I mean, there's a lot of demand out there, but it's not like it was then yet.
Nope.
You know, everybody's still kind of just sitting back man, when this happens, these bred cows and pairs, there's no telling what they're gonna bring once everybody decides, yeah, I'm gonna have grass. It's time to go. It's time to do it. But it really hasn't happened yet. And just like we talked about with the heifers, I mean, there's really not any heifer retention happening yet. So, you know, that's pushing these high prices, presumably, barring any outside unforeseen circumstances, that's pushing these high prices on down the road into 25 and 26 pretty easily for these calves coming off these cows.
Yeah, it looks good, you know, because my landlord, Bruce, I take care of his stuff. Mm-hmm. He last week he said, man, I need to call Brandon. I'm thinking about you need 15 more head. I said, well, thank you. Go ahead and call Brandon. So anyway, he's ready to do a little more.
Yeah.
And I see heifers out on the wheat, but nobody's reporting those. But I mean, as long as these slaughter prices, especially for butcher cows, you would think that the culling's pretty much done, but it's not. There's still some out there.
It's not. I've been really surprised here in December and January so far of how many cull cows we've had coming there to Elk City. Something really surprising, you know, that first sale back in January 5th, the cull cow prices were slightly cheaper than they were the last sale of the year in December the 15th, which very, very rarely ever happens. But we had the numbers. And it kept that thing slightly cheaper than it was December 15th, and that's very, very rare. But again, to see that many numbers coming in was really, really surprising. And you know that tap at some point is gonna shut off, and just, you know, I've been expecting it, and it did to a certain extent. Once it went to raining in May and June, we did see a decrease in our cow numbers, but not near what I was expecting. Right. Once it started raining, there was still a lot of old cows, and a lot of these cows are the cows that was the young ones, you know, that were the 4, 5, and 6 year old cows that was purchased after the last drought and people rebuilding, and that's the cows we're starting to see now, that, you know, those are the ones that they've aged out and it's coming back, and they're going to need to be replaced along with all this other grass that's completely unstocked because of the drought. You know, with the submoisture and whatnot we've got built up with this snow and this rain that we've been getting. I mean, we're setting up right now for a phenomenal spring when grass, you know, should be really coming on. And, you know, there's going to be – I feel like there's going to be a lot of people really looking for some cows, some replacement females going forward. You know, you're already seeing quite a few. But I think as we get closer to green grass, that number is going to increase tenfold of the number of guys that say, "Hey, I got some grass. I need some cows."
I need a cow. And yeah. Plus, when it really gets good and warm and starts warming up, the wheat pasture and rye pasture and treated cow, going to blow up with all this moisture we're having. Well, Mr. Brandon Hickey, your hamburger's probably cold in there at that table now.
It's all right. I always eat them cold. I don't know what a warm one tastes like.
So, anyway, thank you very much.
Old ornery gals at the sale barn at Elk City, they make me one every day, and they always leave before the sale's quite over, so I go in there and eat the cold burger that they made for me.
So you're used to it.
I got one here. I got one hot here a while back. I didn't know hardly what to do with it.
You burnt your tongue. Yeah. So, anyway, before we leave, what's coming up? You got anything on the books for Friday?
Got a nice run starting to line up for Friday. They've been a little bit slow about calling in, but I've got 57 really nice black. They're supposed to be 8 and 9 year old cows. Calving, they should be kind of 5 to 7 months bred, coming in all off one deal. Guy had one of his lease pastures, the landlord sold it, and so that's going to be a really nice set of 8 and 9 year old cows.
Oh, yeah, sounds good.
And then I've got several calf deals already lined up, several of them. Most of them smaller consignments, nothing real, real big on the calf deal, but got a lot of weaned 6 weight cattle coming in, and then some 4 weight unweaned calves as well. So it's going to be a nice run.
And Lake Newcomb's in a good mood.
Hopefully Lake's going to be back.
Dr. Peel answered a lot of his questions today.
Yes.
I don't get to talk about him much, but since he's in the building, we're talking about it.
Absolutely.
Anyway, all right. Well, thanks. See you Friday.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, sir. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Calling all rural residents of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Are you tired of hauling off your own trash? Call D&G Trash Hauling. They can have a dumpster delivered to you in no time. D&G offers weekly or bi-weekly pickup in four different size dumpsters. You have a big job? D&G also has roll-offs available in several sizes. With D&G, you find affordable rates and no contracts. Satisfaction is always top priority. For more information, call D&G at 580-497-6950. That's 580-497-6950. Let D&G Trash get rid of your trash.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers with managing livestock risk protection. LRP is the cheapest way to establish a floor price for your cattle while leaving the top side open. Policies are available for calves, stocker cattle, and feed yard cattle with no upfront costs or margin calls. For LRP and crop insurance, contact Andy or Codell at the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Hold on to your ag investment at nightlatch.net.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January the 5th. 1,750 head were sold, 11 head of steers at 412 brought 320, 4 at 490 brought 296, 12 at 596 brought 239, 9 at 611 brought 253, 8 at 709 brought 212, 10 at 717 brought 225, 3 at 798 brought 195, 2 head of heifers at 426 brought 260, 6 at 451 brought 254, 5 at 502 brought 246, 8 at 541 brought 234, 4 at 563 brought 234, 10 at 805 brought 190, 8 at 873 brought 185, butcher cows were 31 to 119, butcher bulls brought 55 to 119.50, bred cows were 1,035 to 2,000, Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. Taylor Ranch's entire operation is geared towards one thing, creating a great eating experience for their customers. They start by selecting the best carcass genetics available that enhance both flavor and tenderness. They are hands-on every day as they develop each calf so it will reach its full genetic potential. Then they put the calves on feed, in some cases, for as many as 200 days. This optimizes and unlocks the full genetic potential and gives the consumer that juicy mouthwatering eating experience. How about that? A great memory. There we go. I got it. I'm dry mouth. I took an allergy pill a while ago and it's eating me up. But anyway, Taylor Ranch develops that every animal is going to be served on their own Taylor. Quarters, halves, and whole beef for sale. Third party verified, all natural and hormone free. Also available. That's Taylor Ranch Beef, 405-609-4662. Weather at Woodward, Oklahoma for northwestern Oklahoma, 41 degrees. Feels like 32. The winds are out of the south at 17 with wind gusts up to 23. Bare soil temperature, 4 inch. Last 3 days, 28 degrees. Pretty chilly up there. Sunset at 5:47. Sunny and 49 today. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 46. I have a very special guest on the show with me today over here at the Custer County Fairgrounds. And first time I've actually got to meet her and speak to her, but Dr. Rosalyn Biggs. Did I say all that right?
You did. Thank you so much.
Your official title is DVM, Beef Cattle Extension Specialist. Anyway, welcome to the show. First time.
Thanks for having me.
You're going to find out who Jimmy Clark is now.
It's fantastic. I have Clarks in my family, so I'm a fan.
Okay, cool. Anyway, the program that I didn't get to set through all years because I had to get this already out here, but the program you guys are doing with the extension with Dr. Peel, Marty New, and you, it's awesome. Thank you for doing it.
Absolutely. We have great extension educators out here in the counties, particularly those on the western side of the state. If you don't like Western Oklahoma, we can't be friends is my is my motto. And so we all from the state specialist level and the district, thanks for having us today.
Yeah, and well, your topic today, and it's been a topic of mine a few times on the show, and about the lack of big animal veterinarians, and especially the western part of Oklahoma. And what can you tell the listeners? How are you guys working on it to help maybe solve some of that problem? Because there's the older generation, Dr. Hinkle, Gail Ansfall, Dr. Rule, that age group has retired and nobody's firing back up in some of the spots. Not all of them, but some, because we got counties right now out here that don't have a vet.
Right, right. I know all those names, yep. Right? I'm a second generation veterinarian, so yep. I know all of those folks and great veterinarians, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so
old school.
Probably hard to replace in many different ways. But from the Oklahoma State perspective, we have a commitment from the veterinary school to turn out practice ready veterinarians, really across the scope of the profession. But we have developed and are starting a Center for Rural Veterinary Medicine that's led by Dr. Martin Furr at the College of Veterinary Medicine. Now, one program that's part of that center is one that I'm very fortunate to be a part of, which is the Integrated Beef Cattle Program for Veterinarians.
Okay.
This is we started before COVID. And so we've been delayed a little bit with it. But this program brings together veterinarians, usually about 20 veterinarians, 20 to 25 veterinarians that are focused on, at some level, beef cattle medicine.
Okay.
And then we pair them with 20 to 25 current veterinary students. Most of them are from Oklahoma State, but this year we have a couple that are from other veterinary schools, and we put them in a curriculum. We put them in the classroom side by side. And let me tell you, when we put them side by side, they are, and I assign them seats so they don't get to sit with all their friends if they know anybody. But what they do is they develop a network, and we're putting curriculum together to give them more tools in their toolkit so that we connect these veterinarians with veterinary students and vice versa, and that we're giving them some opportunity to assess themselves as well as their practices or potential practices and provide greater service and care to beef cattle producers really across the state. This year, we have veterinary participants from as far away as Canada. And so we're really committed to trying to address rural veterinary shortage and underservice here in Oklahoma. And then it's an international issue, unfortunately, so certainly across the U.S.
Yes. Well, and, you know, for some of the listeners that are non-agriculture, why we're talking about this is earlier I was talking about Gail and Fred and Mr. Hinkle that retired in Simone. There's one in Cheyenne. There's one in Mangum. There's more Doc Bonham here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for example, one of your students, ex-students, Dr. Mouse.
Yes.
And she took Gail's and Fred's and revamped it a little bit because of the cost to build a new vet building right now is unreal. We're not talking a few hundred thousand. We're talking a million. And so
it's expensive. That's
expensive
for sure.
Expensive cost up. So out of curiosity this morning, I called a couple of my old buddies in the city business, managing business. Anyway, I asked them, what would you offer? Because I knew they didn't have a vet. What would you offer a vet to come start their practice up in this town. And he said, we give them free land with all the utilities. Okay, that's a good start. Now we need to find somebody to help that vet that wants to start out there, build a building, and make a big commitment. Don't say this, or maybe find a building, redo it and stuff like that. And when I talked to another person that's in a city deal, he said, you know, he said, what you're talking about is getting a city and the people to help get a vet into town.
It's a community, right? The community comes together, and that's absolutely key in attracting and retaining veterinarians.
Right.
And really keeping those veterinarians. We want to keep those that we have already, right? And so we've seen those kind of initiatives in other parts of the country. I would be encouraged for Oklahoma communities to come together. It does take some organization, certainly take some funds or, you know, opportunities within the tax part of it generally. But thinking about those business incubators, I think a lot of times that people don't think of veterinarians as a business. And that's one of the challenges, right? We just see them as a person, which they absolutely are. However, in order to keep things going, they as any small business in any rural community.
Right.
And so there's the beauty of where we are is that from the Oklahoma State standpoint, we generally turn out compared to the national average, 10 to 15% more of our class goes into the rural large animal space. Some of our classes have even higher amounts. Like, goodness, our second year class this year, I need to know those numbers because they're coming to me and they want to do this. They want to do this kind of work. So that's good news for those of us that care about this issue, and that's good news for producers in the countryside.
Right. Yeah, because those poor guys. I remember Gail coming out to where we had some cattle back in the early 80s, and it was December of 82. How's that? One of the coldest.
It was one of the, I know it's one of the coldest because I have to hear about it every winter from my father, the December of 82.
And we had to have Gail come out, do a couple C-sections, all kinds of stuff. But being a big animal vet is not easy. We all know that. And one of the things that the one of the gentlemen told me from the city this morning, one of the city managers, he's a cattle producer himself.
Mm-hmm.
He said what he sees is that maybe some of the vets need to get a little bit caught up on, you know, and cattlemen don't want to hear this. I know that. And don't take me wrong. I'm repeating what he said. Anyway, he said, you know, I took a cat in there and got it neutered. And it costs the same to get that cat neutered as to work in 7 head of cattle.
Mm-hmm.
So do you see any?
Well, price structure is going to vary.
Right.
Going to have a high variability based on how the practice is. First of all, where the practice is located generally and how it is structured.
Right.
You know, I think most veterinarians are, you know, my goal is if I were your veterinarian is my goal is to help you make money. Because if we both succeed, right, if we have a mutually beneficial relationship, we both succeed.
Right.
And that equates to staying in business, whether that be the cattle business or the veterinary profession, right?
Or the cat business.
Or the cat business, business. And so, you know, the components of it are we're trying to create practice-ready veterinarians. I think at Oklahoma State we do a great job of having veterinary graduates overall that understand the right realities of what they're facing. And time in and time out, we have students from all walks of life, but certainly places that I care about, like rural Oklahoma, that are committed to going back there and serving. So that's definitely encouraging to me. But you know, I think as I'm an animal owner too, right? Like you probably don't want me working on your cats, to be honest with you. It's I don't have any. Okay, good. We want people with expertise, but as an animal owner, we have to have the expectation that things are going to change, right, within the profession and how things are cared for. But know that your veterinarian time in and time out. They care about you, they care about your animals, and they care about having a successful outcome. And many times we're left with a bad set of cards to play in some instances, and we do our best. And it is, know that veterinarians across the profession are there because we care. It's not there, like, I joke sometimes, nobody goes into veterinary medicine because they're going to get rich and famous at it, right? Like, that's not the goal.
I haven't seen any.
not really. And so certainly.
But they got a good life.
It's a great life. And the profession has been very, very good to me and my family. And it can be for others as well. So if you have maybe a future veterinary student in your realm, encourage them to pursue the profession.
Right.
And support them in the
percentage. Excuse me. Do you know what percentage of kids go to school to become a vet? How many goes back to the same place where they came from? I know Dr. Mouse did.
Sure.
And I
sure.
know Joey McConnell
yep,
did.
Yep. Yep. And that's what I did right out of school too. And so we do have a higher percentage. I don't have an exact number. What they tell you is go somewhere else and make all your mistakes and then come back home. I didn't take that advice. Dr. Mouse and Dr. McConnell they're both smarter than me, and so they're probably fine being out there at Elk. But the component to that is we do have students that do that, and so I'm interested in supporting those students and trying to help them get where they want to be.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Dr. Rosalind Biggs from the Oklahoma State University. I'm just going to leave it at that. I know she's a vet. We know she's a beef cattle specialist. And he's waving by. You better save me a hamburger. And anyway, thanks for coming on. And I look forward to having a talk with you down the road and get an update.
Because
I want to challenge all the communities in Western Oklahoma and Eastern Texas Panhandle to come together with their local government to help if they don't have a vet in that area, because it's hard to travel 50-60 miles you can get the vet to come out there, but everything's got to be scheduled, and either way it's got to be scheduled, but it's a convenience thing. So hopefully one of these days we come up with a great answer.
Absolutely. Well, we're working on it, and hope to see more things come out of our OSU Center for Rural Veterinary Medicine.
Yeah. Go Pokes.
All right. That's right. Go Pokes.
All right. Thank you, Doc.
We'll
be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
If you need something and you could buy it now cheaper than later, it makes sense to buy it now. Lyle's giving you the opportunity to do the sensible thing. If you need ag tires, they're on sale until January 15th in Blair. Blair Tire and Feed's having a sale on all in-stock ag tires, including Firestone. The whole crew appreciates your business this year, and they're looking forward to helping you next year. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19. Pay less right now for all in-stock ag tires. This deal's good till January 15th.
I say the future is ours! Can you dig it?
Oh, you sure can. Especially if you rent from DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City. Dig up those old sewer lines with a backhoe or mini excavator. Save time and money. Rent a post-hole digger to help with your next fencing project. You can dig it today when you rent from DJ's Rentals on South Main in Elk City.
Can you dig it?
Find out more, visit djsrental.com. That's djsrental.com.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. we're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-0677.
SCI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SCI Agritech 1400 South Randall in Elk City. With all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust, the new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SCI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Beef, that's what's on the menu at Hudson Angus Farms. Their 11th annual bull and female sale is Saturday, January 27th at 1 p.m. at the farm west of Elk City. They're selling 70 yearling to two-year-old bulls and 20 bred heifers. To see the catalog and videos, go to their website, HudsonAngusFarms.com, or find Hudson Angus Farms on Facebook. The Hudson Angus Farms Spring Bull Sale, Saturday, January 27th. Lunch at noon, sales starts at 1 o'clock west of Elk City.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I'm back. Sorry. I got all excited and forgot to change the weather. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden ag weather update. Altus. I picked Altus. 42 degrees. Feels like 32. Dew point's 11. Humidity's 29. The winds are out of southeast at 21 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 30 miles an hour. Pretty breezy. 10-day rain total in Altus, 0.45 inches, 45/100ths of an inch. Sun set at 5:51. Sunny today, 49. Windy. Wind calms down and switches out of the northwest tonight, low of 28. Tomorrow looks like a beautiful day in the neighborhood. 52 degrees and sunny tomorrow. Anyway, we got a few minutes left here, and I've grabbed one of the tenants in the meeting today out here, and actually come find out it's been a long time, but I'm pretty sure I know him. Mr. Clint Rouse from the Custer County area. He attended the show today. Welcome to the show, sir.
I enjoyed it.
And what do you think about this beef seminar? I thought it was awesome.
I think I've gone to about every one they've ever had here, and it's real educational. You got the economic side of it. You got the production side of it. And today we got to hear from a veterinarian.
Yeah, Dr. Biggs was really good. And, you know, we, Clint and Elk City don't see it so much, but a lot of the other smaller communities are seeing the lack of getting a veterinarian to their community. So hopefully with OSU working on it right now, we can get some more vets out here. And anyway, what's the number one thing that got your attention today?
Well, I always like to hear Dr. Peel.
Yeah. He's my numbered guy.
And he's pretty optimistic, and we'll see if it happens or not. Things can change pretty fast when it comes to, like he said today, the prices are going to control about everything. If you get, it'll bring in production pretty quick if you get the prices right.
Right. And, they're still – Brandon came on here after Dr. Peel did earlier in the show, and, they're still not a sign of heifer retention locally or even nationally. And there is some going on, but anyway, that's going on. And Dr. Peel's showing some good numbers. And, I've been following him for a long time. He doesn't miss it very often. And he's spot on. It might be a month late or a month earlier, but anyway. So is a producer? I don't know your business right now, but is a producer? What are you looking for right now? What are you looking not to do, and what are you looking for to happen?
Well, I have not been a cow calf producer, and I've been a stocker operator. We Buy them small and sell big. Buy high and sell low.
Put it right on the money, didn't he? Oh, yeah. So, anyway, there's but, you know, and I talked to Dr. Peel about some stalker deals right now. Mm-hmm. And you know, thank goodness for some of that insurance for some of them stalkers. Yeah. I mean, that's because the guys that don't have insurance and you got a big set out there, you're not in the green right now. And I hate to say that, but it's the truth. We put a number to it. The music playing. The show's already over. I'm done. Yeah, and anyway, well, it's not off yet, but anyway, the music's playing. It's telling me to shut up. But anyway, Clint Rouse, thanks for stopping by for a few minutes, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma.